The reading this morning is starting in Luke chapter 10 from verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. So thank you for that. So listen, we're going to be looking at this episode from Scripture this morning about Jesus visiting Mary and Martha's house and what it can teach us. And we're going to have the kids be involved and help us with this a little bit. So the thing that struck me this week was that there was a press conference at Royal Portrush Golf Club where the world number one golfer, a guy called Scotty Scheffler, answered a question about how he handles both victory and defeat. And it wasn't the normal type of answer that he gave, the normal type of kind of polished sports athlete, kind of professional athlete answer that he gave in this press conference. Instead, in answering the question, he tackled a kind of philosophical subject, a question that has plagued some of the sharpest minds that our world has ever produced for centuries. And that question was really based around what is the purpose and meaning of life. So it was pretty heavy stuff for a golf interview, you know. And he talked at length, 5 minutes and 40 seconds he spoke about this for, and it was a fascinating insight into his mindset. And at one point he said this, he says, "I love the challenge. I love being able to play this game for a living. It's one of the greatest joys of my life. But does it fill the deepest wants and desires of my heart? Absolutely not," he said. And what was being revealed really in that moment as he spoke about this was that although he was the number one golfer in the world, and he does find great purpose in that, in playing golf and practicing and winning tournaments, that is the purpose that he loves, golf does not provide meaning in his life. And that's a very different thing. This week we are concluding our journey through Luke chapter 10 with Jesus' visit, as we've said, to Mary and Martha's house. And as we engage this morning with this passage together and think it through, we're gonna think about those ideas of meaning and purpose and investigate what God's word might have to teach us about them. Now, to help me explore this idea, just to get us off and running, I'm going to invite the kids to come up. So if you're preschool age or primary school age, can you come up and help me to sort of think through meaning and purpose a little bit? So come on, I'll meet you at the front here. I have to get a box. So stand there a wee second. So how yous all doing? Good to see yous. Are you feeling tired? Are you feeling good? Up or down? Bit tired. Good? Okay. Bit tired, bit good. Well, it's good to see you. Thank you for coming up to help me. Now, I'm going to show you a few wee objects, and what I would love you to do is to help me see if you know what they are. Do you know what that is? A heart from last week. Okay, so it's a heart, but it's also a heart from last week. Do you remember what it was about? Spreading love. Guys, I'll take that. That kind of means I actually tried to teach you something last week. That's brilliant. Fantastic. I wonder if we'd asked those guys out there, would they have known that? That would have been my fault, not theirs, if they didn't know that, by the way. Look, well done. So yes, you're right. This is a heart, right? But the deeper story and the deeper significance behind it is that it is the heart that we used last week to talk about how God gives us a new heart and then sends us out to multiply his love in the world through doing good things. Okay, second thing I want you to look at is these. Do you know what those are?
Keys.
Keys, okay. Keys. Oh, to the church, you're wondering what they're for. Well, I guess for us to find out what they're for, we'd need to actually invite the owner of these keys to come up. Is the owner of these keys in the building? Here he comes. Give him a round of applause. Stuart, thanks very much. Can you tell us a wee bit about these keys?
Yes, so everybody, this is a very exciting week for Laura and I. These are the keys to our very first home.
Whoa!
And Judah as well. Sorry, I forgot Judah. He's coming with us, unfortunately. So these are the keys to our very first home. We're moving to Grimsport. So anybody that lives in Grimsport, you can come and have a cup of tea in our new house. We officially get our keys next Friday. So these are just like sample keys until then.
Stuart, brilliant. Can we, kids, do you think we could pray for Stuart and Laura and Judah? Pray God's blessing on them moving into their new home. Could we do that? Would you give me prayer hands, please? And we'll just say a wee prayer. Is that all right? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your provision and the fact, Lord, that you are taking Stuart and Laura and Judah into a new chapter. And we pray, Lord, it'll be a chapter filled with blessing. And we pray your blessing upon their new home. And Lord, would you just be with them richly in that place, that they would just live in peace and joy in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Stuart, thanks very much. Give him a round of applause. Okay, one more item. Anybody tell me what this is?
It's a chip for a guitar.
Anybody else? A chip for a guitar. A chip for, would we all agree? A chip for a guitar, okay. You take a wee look at it, you can pass it around there. So it's actually called a plectrum, right? But yes, a chip for a guitar works as well. And basically, to find out a wee bit more about it, will we call up whoever owns it? Yeah? Okay, could whoever owns the plectrum come up, please, and give them a round of applause. Emma, thank you. Emma, thanks for coming up. Could you tell us a wee bit more about the significance of the plectrum in your life?
Yes. Well, like you said, this helps me play the guitar, and I love playing music, so that's why it's really special to me. But it also helps me lead worship in church, which I really love to do, and then hopefully when I lead worship, other people here at church can also worship God as well.
Well, Emma, I think we should all say thank you, because we love how you lead worship here, so thank you. I'll give you a round of applause. Could we also just ask you how we could pray for you and for the band and John, your husband, as you together kind of lead worship?
As the band leader, that I listen to God and follow his guidance as we lead the band. Be with all the other band members. They're all amazing. I love all the band members, but having a few more band members would be great as well to fill us out a bit. Just that God could provide more band members would be great as well.
Well, let's pray right now, guys. Can we do prayer hands again, just quickly? Brilliant. Okay, prayer hands, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Emma and John leading the band, Lord, and for all the band members, and the blessing that we have here singing together your praises. Lord, we pray, just as Emma's asked, Lord, that you would stir up more people with gifts and talents to come and worship you and to lead us in worship, Lord. So just continue to speak silently into people's hearts and encourage them, Lord, to consider taking up that role, Lord, and all that entails to become part of the band here. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Emma, thank you. Let's give her a round of applause. So, guys, did you notice that each of the items had a function? Really, the key and the plectrum primarily had a function. So the key opened the door, unlocked the door, and the plectrum was for playing the guitar. But actually, when we found out who owns the things, listen up, mister, please. When we find out who owns the things, and when we find out the story behind them, we go beyond the purpose, and we actually learn a lot more about the meaning of them and the significance of them. They all do something that helps it. That's very good, exactly. So listen, I've got some pencils and sheets for you to colour in. Now, form a wee line for me. I'm going to give them out one at a time, okay? So there's your, sorry, Robin's first. Shouldn't be that way, but nepotism at its worst. Here you go. And Jesse's second. This is too bad, sorry. Here you go. Now listen, you'll notice here, this is for you guys to colour in for the rest of the service, okay? But you'll notice that Jesus is at the centre of this picture that you're going to colour in, okay? And really what that's signifying is that the best thing that we can do to give us meaning and significance in this life and to have a life filled with purpose is really to put Jesus at the center. Here you go. Here's your crayons. There you go. Or your pencils, and I'll get you your sheet. And when we put Jesus at the center, it kind of
It orders everything else in our lives, and it means that we never feel like we lack meaning or purpose. But actually, as we follow him, he uses us to bring blessing to those around us, and he fills our lives with a sense of meaning and purpose. So guys, you are going to head back to your seats. Thank you very much. Can I pray for you before you go? Actually, just sorry. Sorry. Lord, thank you for these kids, Lord. I pray that they will put Jesus at the center of their lives, that you will walk with them all the days of their life. Oh, they're lovely. Lord, we thank you for Nails and for fun and joy over the holiday period. And Lord, would you just put yourself at the center of these kids' lives and order everything else around you and help them to do the same, Lord, in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Guys, well done. Thank you for your help. So as the kids colour those in, let's take a wee closer look at this passage for a minute or two. And it's important to recognise as we look at this passage that actually we live in a different time to when it was written. As we've seen in recent weeks, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified, and he's teaching the disciples about the way of Jesus. But we live on this side of the cross. Jesus has been crucified, and we live in the knowledge that Christ has been raised to prove that the debt of human sin has been paid. We know, as Paul says, that God was in Christ. That's what was happening through this whole period. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. So let's look at the passage through that lens. It begins by saying, and as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And that's the first thing that we see and we learn from this passage, is that actually for us now, living in this time, every person has an invitation to welcome Jesus into their lives. And that's important. When Martha invited Jesus into her home, she was actually inviting God into her life. Colossians chapter 1 says that Christ, who came to her door, is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and he's supreme over all creation. Everything was created through him and for him, and he existed before anything else, and he actually holds all of creation together. And that's the Christian story. The Christian story is that there's a God who made everything. And so it makes sense that no matter what we achieve in this life, we'll always be missing something if we're unable to know and to relate to and to connect with the God who made us. And God knows and understands that as well. And so when he poured his Holy Spirit out on all people on the day of Pentecost, every person received that invite. And each person continues to receive an invitation in every generation to enter into a relationship with Jesus. Revelation 3:20 shows us Jesus at a door, and he says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends." Human beings are just like the items we just looked at. To find their true meaning is only revealed in the context of a loving relationship with the God who created them. C.S. Lewis talked about this, and he said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because I see everything else by it." The way that we invite Jesus into our life is by turning away and beginning to follow him, turning away from those things that we think are right and turning towards him and beginning to understand his way and following his way. And actually, we're each invited to do that afresh this morning, whether it's for the first time or whether it's for the 100th time. We can always turn towards Jesus and say, "You know what, I'm going to start afresh to seek his way and to follow it more closely." So that's the first thing, but the passage goes on to teach us something more about the nature of this relationship with God. It goes on, "Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing." Mary and Martha were both believers in Jesus. They were united in that.
But then there was a kind of divergence. The paths separated. Martha goes to great lengths to do things for Jesus, to serve him. And Mary decides instead to be with Jesus, sitting as a disciple at his feet, listening to what he taught. And Jesus actually says that Mary's way is better. She chose the good portion. Of course, serving other people is not a bad thing to do. It's a beautiful expression of a living faith. James rightly says that faith without works is dead faith. It just means, really, and what Jesus is saying here is that works can never replace spending time with him. There's an order to this. And he speaks of it in the greatest commandment as well, which is really where this passage that we're looking at comes from this morning. It goes back to the thing that made Jesus tell the story about the Good Samaritan. And Jesus says in the great commandment that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. Loving your neighbor comes second to that. It is, in fact, linked to it, and it's dependent upon it. And that's why you'll often hear Nigel say here that if a person only has a limited amount of time to give to church each week, that the best thing for them to do is to be in the Sunday service and to be in a life group community. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, meeting with him, along with others, brothers and sisters in Christ, and being transformed in the midst of worship, because it's from that place that healthy service comes. And you can't put it the other way around, where you take the bit of time you have and you just serve, because that will just empty you. And that's not the Lord's plan. The truth about the passage is that Jesus wants Martha's company more than he wants her lovely meal. And for us this morning, Jesus wants our company more than he wants the things that we can do for him. The reason Jesus died was to make a way for sinful people to enter safely into and to enjoy and to be transformed by the presence of God. Before that, it wasn't possible. The way that we primarily receive from God is that he nourishes us in unseen ways as we meet with him. And we've talked about that, the importance of spending time with him. But what does that look like? Well, the New Testament does not suggest any radical shortcuts to this. It simply encourages us repeatedly over and over again to give ourselves in the time-honored way to the means of Bible reading and meditation, to prayer, to worship, to mission, to church, and to self-control. Mary simply spent her time with the Lord, giving him her undivided attention. And actually, we should have a regular pattern of doing the same thing, where we push everything else aside, even the good things like serving, and make room for him to just meet with him, because it's much more about what he's doing in us whenever we meet with him like that. So how does that play out in Mary's life? What does it look like? What does it give rise to? Well, far from producing an idle intellectual faith that has no works attached to it, her relationship with God overflows in the most profound way. And we see it in John's Gospel, in chapter 12 of John's Gospel. And it says this: 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he'd raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, typical Martha. Not going to go on about it, but typical Martha. But maybe a transformation had taken place in her heart. And Lazarus was among those who ate with him. And then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the beautiful thing that Mary had done. Mary's way, the way of Mary, led her to follow the way of the cross. And that's what Jesus' whole teaching in this Luke chapter 10 is about. And she displays sacrificial generosity and Christ-like humility as she anointed Jesus for his death. an act of such symbolism and beauty that it's echoed down the centuries to reach us this morning. And in that, I want to just say to you, if life has lost a little bit of that sense of meaning, if you feel that you're permanently hurried and you can't make time for God, you're just like everybody else, because we're all in the same boat. But actually, as Christians and those that Jesus died for, our job is to establish some space and time in this life for him, and to go there regularly and to meet him and be nourished from by him, and let the rest of our life be ordered by that. That is what matters most. So whether you're on a team serving in church, or you're poised to win the Open Championship today, follow the way of Mary and go to the only place where meaning and purpose can be found in this world. Take yourself there. Go to the feet of Jesus. Push everything else aside and go and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him and learn from his teaching and allow him to completely transform you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, that the life that you call us to is one of freedom and not slavery. It's a life based in a life-giving relationship with you that brings purpose, but not just purpose, it brings meaning to purpose. And when those two things are joined together, Lord, there is power, and there is witness, and there's beauty, and there's transformation. Lord, you made us, you know us, you created all things for your own glory, and you know what's best for us, and you invite us to come and sit with you, first and foremost. So Lord, let us take up that invitation today to receive you afresh, and to meet with you where you have said that you will be found. For everybody who seeks will find. Everybody who knocks, the door will be answered. So Lord, we thank you for what it cost for you to do this for us. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to transform us into Jesus' likeness through your wonderful presence. Amen.